The views and opinions expressed by hosts, invited speakers, and callers do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the Black Talk Media Project or the Black Talk Radio Network.
Revolution comes with a price tag. You a slave to a flag in a country that clearly doesn't love you when they probably never have. Told you turn the other cheek, and they met it with a bat. Fucking protesting them citizens. Told you go fight in the war. Vietnam, you died, good riddance. The man of the house rule took you from your siblings. Turned around and pump crack right up in your city. And they turned all your leaders to martyrs. You was off in the war, now who was guarding your daughters? It was riots in the streets, killed Malcolm and Martin. Called the National Guard up because we ride with our guard up. And that was blood in your guard. The Second Amendment don't apply to you. Everything that they taught you was a lie to you. See, they scared of your skin and they dying to shoot. Take the American dream and then you die to pursue.
One day it'll all make sense. If it ain't about power, then it don't make sense. But none of that money matters when you live in madness. So one day you figure out that all you got is this. Peace, love, and the middle finger. Right on. Peace, love, and the middle finger. Right on. Peace, love, and the middle finger. Right on. Peace, love, and the middle finger.
For those of you good afternoon, you are tuned in to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed, broadcasting from behind the enemy lines of USA Inc. Today's date is February 18th, 2016. Good afternoon to everyone who is hearing the sound of my voice and those that listen later on podcasts, as we do experience a lot of podcast downloads from all over the world, and we appreciate those listeners as well. Today, do got a couple of news stories coming on a little bit, or I shouldn't say a little bit, but an hour late. So I guess today is like live at 5, Black Talk Radio News. But I have a couple of things to throw out there. If anybody, of course, wants to comment on these topics pertaining the president and CEO of USA Inc., Barack Obama, meeting with Black Lives Matter representatives, and as well as I think the establishment black leaders or officials are going to be in this meeting as well. And there's been some debate on whether or not Black Lives Matter or these particular representatives should meet with the president. So I have my thoughts on that. Dr. Vernelia Randall provided me some feedback from her perspective. And of course, Dr. Vernelia Randall, sometimes you'll hear her on Race Treaty, which comes on at 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern on Black Talk Radio Network on Friday nights. Yeah, she's often been a guest on there since the beginning of that program, but she is a respected international human rights advocate, has traveled all over the world, recently came back from Iran. She talked about it on Race Treaty, has participated in these conventions that they hold in Geneva and with the, through these UN official functions and whatnot. So she has some thoughts on that as well. I'll share those with you. But President Obama is also scheduled to fly to Cuba to meet with Cuban officials as the two countries are continuing the process of normalizing their relations. But last night I caught just a little bit of it, of the, I guess it was a town hall just between Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio. And Cruz, the part that I saw, he just continues to show, in my opinion, a pattern of lying in the campaign throughout the election. And, you know, he's demonizing the trip by President Obama. So that's a topic of discussion. But also, you know, Cruz did lodge some hypocritical complaints about human rights abuses allegedly occurring in Cuba. But mind you, you know, this is where Guantanamo Bay is. And we can take a look at some of the action he has taken, where, you know, it's pretty much internationally recognized that men have been tortured there, and not just men or whatever label you want to call them, terrorists, enemy combatants, however you want to label, but innocent men who have been held there for years. And so, you know, Cruz, and then, you know, the public, or at least the crowd that's in the building, when these people tell these lies like that, you have to assume most of them, you know, are very uninformed on, you know, the history of Cuba, have investigated Cruz's personal history. And he just shows a propensity to lie, to continue to repeat this lie about his father being tortured. But the surreal thing about it is that his father claims that he was fighting against the U.S.-backed Batista regime, the dictatorship, brutal regime. All right, but they were backed by the United States. As long as corporate interests were allowed in, organized crime through the mob was allowed, you know, and they turned their, you know, backs to the human rights abuses under the Batista regime. Human rights abuses got so bad that it was a revolution, and Ted Cruz's father claims that he fought on the side of Castro in the revolution. So, you know, and this is information that has been out there, you know, a couple of years now. But most recently, like, you know, as recent as last year in 2015, since this race for the nomination to become the next CEO of USA Inc. Began. The process began last year. So those are some things. Any news you would like to report? Of course, we could do a quick rundown of some of the news of the day. But let me give out the phone number for anybody that would like to come in. You can give us a call on the conference line, which is 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549-032-POUND. To signal me, hit *6 and 1. You can use the web-based flash phone. For those who are in our international listening audience. And you know what I should do? I should start including the international numbers for that conference line so that, you know, people can not be charged for listening to the program. So I'll add that. You can also hit us on the studio line at 704-951-5030. So I'm interested to hear what your thoughts are on Black Lives Matter representative, and we're only talking about a few individuals. We're talking about an organization that describes itself, you know, as really not an organization, but a movement, with people who are working under the name Black Lives Matter, an umbrella group. In fact, different organizations, individuals who see common interests come together and have been the latest wave of people, young people, fighting for human rights. So if you have any thoughts on that, also, what do you think about Mr. Obama flying to Cuba? Remember, you know, some of my initial thoughts is, well, you know, Cuba needs to be careful, because whenever we saw the latest example, when you normalize relations with the United States in Libya, Libya and its prime minister, Muammar Gaddafi, in fact, agreed to some terms with the United States to stop doing this or stop doing that. I don't know if Libya had any terms that were met, but they normalized relations. And Libya at the time, it was overthrown by the United States participating in the global military organization known as NATO. They in fact were allies of the United States. And so, I mean, we haven't seen any Senate hearings, and I heard Senator Cruz point that out also, that this was an overthrow, you know, like all nonchalantly, like, you know, this was a crime in for real. This was an ally of the United States. There was no declaration of war, as people want to talk about the Constitution. This is an ally who was telling you that he was keeping terrorists out of Europe. Look at y'all now, you know. And we do have to acknowledge there are some terrorists out there who have been creating some heinous crimes. And if we dig deeper, we will even see, you know, accusations that the United States is providing equipment to so-called ISIS, at least according to some Russian military officials on the battlefield in Syria, after they have blown up or repelled some or took the offensive against some so-called ISIL fighters. And the equipment is, you know, turning out to be Humvees. Who's making Humvees now? Chrysler, I don't know, GM. I think it was GM when I was in a military in the 90s. I don't know who has that contract now, but yeah, General Motors was making the Humvee. So, and they're finding Humvees in, you know, the possession of these so-called terrorists. So, again, you know, this is really just more of the Hegelian dialect, as I heard Sister Zion talk about on her program, Shifting Paradigms, which airs at 12:30 p.m. on Sundays. I have read the book, Order Out of Chaos, which discusses the Hegelian dialect. And, you know, it's sort of like, you know, you create the problem. The people don't know you created the problem. And we're talking about, in this term or context, governments create a problem. And then they come in like they got the solution. You know, this is the solution. We got it. But we don't, you know, they hide from you that they created the instability, that they were backing terrorists. Although, you know, the information is pretty much out there in the open. Y'all know how open the internet is. And that's why it's always constantly under assault. So, you know, I heard Ted Cruz say some things about Libya being overthrown. But I'm like, well, Ted Cruz, why haven't you had a Senate hearing on this and called for Senate hearings on why did Hillary Clinton and Samantha Powers or whoever came to the Senate Intelligence Committee and lied about Gaddafi and African mercenaries and mass rape and then did nothing while, you know, Africans were just slaughtered by these Arab jihadis. You know, where the Senate hearings? Y'all just want to talk about Benghazi, you know, because this American ambassador, I can't remember his name, but he was assisting these terrorists. And y'all know it, and maybe that's why y'all won't have no hearings on it, because you have to admit, again, how you get down and how you do things. Dirty, underhanded, and you know, it's actually international crimes. That's why the United States won't ratify or join, you know, the International Criminal Court or whatnot. They will talk about, you know, oh, this is the UN and New World Order type stuff, but you're the one that's chiefly funding the UN there as well. So, you know, come on. Why you don't want, they use the excuse they don't want American soldiers prosecuted by foreign nations for war crimes. So, you know, there's some serious things going on in the world, and you know, if you pay attention, whether you participate or not, but if you pay attention to politics, that's the best way to gather intelligence on the things that really matter in this world, where, you know, you will really find out about the mass murder that's being, you know, committed on a daily, mass enslavement, legalized, some of it's not legalized, but the fact that we got governments like the United States practicing legalized slavery. So, I mean, it's just all of that is controlled through politics. So those are the telephone numbers once again, 641-715-3660-549-032-pound, hit star 6 and 1 to comment. You can also use the web-based flash phone or hit us up on the studio line at 704-951-5030. But we're going to take a break, and then we'll come back and we'll tackle this first topic. President and CEO of USA Inc., Mr. Barack Obama, is going to meet with Black Lives Matter. So what do you think about that? What do you think about Black Lives Matter? So we'll jump on that when we come back on the other side of this break. You're listening to Black Talk Radio News. Yes, indeed, I'm broadcasting from behind the enemy lines of USA Inc. We will be right back.
This is Ron Hayes with Hood News, and you're listening to the Black Talk Radio Network. Stay tuned.
Make Black Talk Radio Network your choice.
I scratched up.
Cause we keep swerving, stay working, and you know we, and we going in. I got that money coming, you can see it rolling in, cause you know it. I told her bounce it, you bounce it, work it back, I'ma throw a couple thousand. I'm going up.
The police the same way. They put their club upside your head, and then turn around and accuse you of attacking them. Every case of police brutality against a Negro follows the same pattern. They attack you, bust you all upside your mouth, and then take you to court and charge you with assault. What kind of democracy is that? What kind of freedom is that? What kind of social or political system is it when a black man has no voice in court? Has no nothing on his side other than what the white man chooses to give. My brothers and sisters, we have to put a stop to this. And it will never be stopped until we stop it ourselves. They attack the victim. And then the criminal who attacked the victim accuses the victim of attacking him. This is American justice. This is American democracy.
The power structure has successfully created the image of the American Negro as someone with no confidence, no militancy. And they had done this by giving him images of heroes that weren't truly militant or confident. And now here come Cassius, the exact contrast of everything that was representative of the Negro image. He said he was the greatest. All of the odds were against him. He upset the odds makers. He won. He became victorious. He became the champ. They knew that as soon as if people began to identify with Cassius and the type of image he was creating, they were going to have trouble out of these Negroes, because they'd have Negroes walking around the street saying, "I'm the greatest, 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 greatest."
Also recognize that individuals do not create rebellions, conditions do. Until they begin to address themselves to those conditions, rebellions will continue and they will escalate. They will escalate. Sometimes the question has been raised about why black men fight and have fought for this country. It is the black man's implacable will to be free that makes him fight for this country. And it is that same will that will make him fight this country, fight this country, fight. I want to address myself now to problems as they exist in the black community across America. And America cannot be considered as a stable and just society. But no stable and just society can mount a successful offensive against black youth who break a window and at the same time plead that it is powerless to protect black youth who are being murdered because they seek to make American democracy a reality, reality, reality. Each time a black church is bombed or burnt, that is violence in our streets. each time a black body is found in the swamps of Mississippi and Alabama. That is violence in our land. Each time black right workers cannot be protected by the government. That is anarchy. Each time a police officer shoots and kills a black teenager, that is urban crime. You see, we recognize America for what it is, the Fourth Reich. And we tell America to be on notice, because if you are gonna play Nazi, black folks ain't gonna play Jews. Ain't gonna play Jews.
Black Talk Radio News, broadcasting to you on this Thursday afternoon from the state of North Carolina. Let's go ahead and jump into some of these news stories. Let me go to Facebook so I can pull up what Dr. Randall had to say about Black Lives Matter. And when we say Black Lives Matter, we had to understand that, yes, there is a organization that has that name. I don't know if it's a 501c3, c4, however they register with the government. But behind these enemy lines, in order to be considered legit, you do have to file that paperwork and whatnot. Just like the Black Talk Media Project is a North Carolina-based nonprofit. We don't deal with the federal government at all. Okay, so, but there is one organization that has used that as the official title of their organization, but it's really started as a hashtag and as a way to connect different individuals and organizations intersecting on the same issue, and that is making Black Lives Matter in the wake of people coming to the awakening that the stuff that's been going on for hundreds of years, police murders, the things that, you know, we just heard from H-Rap Brown, and that's all they do. They organize together, but it's a whole bunch of individuals and organizations, so we should be cognizant of that, even if the enemy isn't. We should be. We should be paying attention. So, let me go to my page on Facebook, and it's saying that President Obama, let's jump to the article. This is coming to you from BuzzFeed.com. The White House told BuzzFeed News that President Obama will host a landmark meeting with activists from the Black Lives Matter and Civil Rights Movement on Thursday. Icons like Wade Henderson and John Lewis will meet with movement leaders like Brittany Packnett, Aslan Pulley, and DeRay McKisson. So, don't know who Brittany is. I think I know who she is. Aslan. And so, this could be, and DeRay McKisson, and people have been talking about the fact that he is coming out of a government, U.S. government sponsored program, Teach for America. I think it's also, you know, George Soros may be connected into that, but I'm not willing to state that as a fact, all right, at this point. But he does come out of Teach for America, so people been looking at him as suspect. You know, I'm not going to say that he's suspect, because people come through all kind of systems and organizations and just trying to find opportunity, you know, and maybe they don't have all the information about how the system is trying to use them as tools of proxy racism to convert you from field, you know, from field Negroes to black establishment Negroes. So there's a process when the Democratic Party adopts you. But then at the same time, since the system is so rigged with the two-party system, sometimes that's the only way that you can even sneak in on the ballot. You know, it's not so hard to get elected on a local level. Independence, I'm talking about, or rogue people in the party, because, you know, they have these different classifications within the party. You know, and so, you know, it's not hard, that hard. If you got, you know, dedicated bunch of people that want to help you run a campaign, as volunteers and whatnot, and then later on you could try to raise money. But it's not hard getting on the ballot. You know, shout out to Christopher Irvin in Baltimore, also running for the city council up there, and he is an abolitionist. He's been on this program, answers frank questions about stuff. He doesn't censor himself. He doesn't talk like he doesn't give you a bunch of talking points. He understands the issues. He's a longtime criminal justice activist. And so, you know, we can't really, I guess, try to say that these people are wasting their time by engaging a system in which they are engaging it, because I gather a lot of intelligence from Christopher Irvin, from his meetings with state senators in Maryland, and, you know, the whole process of him working as a lobbyist to push bills that's going to ease up the effects of white supremacy and racism on black people through the criminal justice system, what they call the criminal justice system, but it ain't no justice. It's mostly us, you know, mostly black people, and then other poor people and targets. So, you know, but there, people are right to have suspicions because of COINTELPRO. The government has used these tactics before to infiltrate movements early on. They didn't infiltrate the Black Panther Party early on, but later, you know, they developed the COINTELPRO strategy. Well, used it. Well, they was using it on King and them in the 50s. So, but then, you know, came up with much more brutal and criminal, you know, tactics against the Black Panther Party, including assassinations, illegal wiretaps, and then some of these criminals even have their names on buildings, like FBI, you know, former FBI Director J. Edgar Hoover, you know. So again, when these people talk about the Constitution, people like Ted Cruz or any one of these establishment, you know, politicians, you know, I look at their record and I look at their rhetoric. And if they've been around a long time, you know, the internet, again, is a powerful tool if used properly. And, you know, people do take the time to archive this footage and they upload it to social media. So we have a way to pull up all of that. So it goes on, and I'll have to do, let's go ahead and find out who we are talking about when they say Black Lives Matter. Because again, Black Lives Matter is shaping out to be, just like the Black Panther Party, a national organization. They haven't reached the stage, or I don't know if they even have plans to be international. But again, some of them, I believe, you know, various organizations and whatnot. We're not talking about one organization. And they have presented to the UN. So we could say Black Lives Matter is, in fact, international. And I presume that most of the listeners of Black Talk Radio hear the different programming, because we have reported on that news, different hosts and whatnot, and different guests. So Aslan Pulley, not really seeing. Okay, now she has snubbed. Okay, it shows that she snubbed a White House invite. Black Lives Matter activist snubs White House invite. And this was published, let's say, when was this? It's not really, and I'm on time.com, and it's not really telling me a date. Let me see if I can gather some more information. The co-founder of Black Lives Matter Chicago. So, again, you know, these are different chapters of Black Lives Matter. From what I've heard from some of who the mainstream is identifying as possibly national leaders, have said, you know, in terms of endorsing presidential candidates, that they were not going to endorse, but the different chapters have autonomy. Just like, you know, last night on New Abolitionist Radio, we were discussing the young brother DeBaha, who is part of Black Lives Matter out of Charleston, South Carolina, who has seen, I didn't hear him outright endorse Bernie Sanders, but he says that, you know, they've been in talk with Bernie Sanders and he has been open to their proposals, and not, and his exact words was he was not paternalistic like Hillary Clinton, you know, want to dictate, and that he was more open to listening what they had to say. So they, again, these are different organizations. They have autonomy, and it is, you know, good that they allow their chapter leaders to have that autonomy. So the White House billed the meeting of as a first of its kind gathering of veteran leaders, young activists, and the leader of the free world. But in an op-ed for truthout.org that was also shared with the Time via email, invitee Aslan Pulley calls the meeting a sham and says it would do a disservice to her greater goals as an activist to participate. Let's quote her: as a radical black organizer living and working in a city that is now widely recognized as a symbol of corruption and police violence, she writes, I do not feel that a handshake with the president is the best way for me to honor Black History Month or the black freedom fighters whose labor laid the groundwork for the historic moment that we are living in. She is one of over a dozen people who were invited to the White House for Thursday's meeting. So that's today, including activist DeRay McKesson. Again, he's running for mayor in Baltimore. And, you know, we're going to have to get Brother Christopher Irvin to join us again, as again, he's running an active campaign for the city council. He might be making some history as being the first open abolitionist to ever run for Baltimore City Council. You know, I'm not sure of that history, but, you know, abolitionists is so rare these days. And so possibly the first in 100 or more, you know, 150 or more years. So we got to bring him on and, you know, let him give us some analysis on them, possibly somebody, if DeRay McKesson could actually win, and Christopher Irvin, abolitionist, could win a seat on the city council. It'd be interesting to see, you know, some of the changes they can make, because certainly, you know, there are problems in Baltimore. So, but let me jump back to this now. You know, everybody has a right to forge their own way, and I guess the best way to say this in terms of Ms. Pulley's comments is that there's no she's not right, but she's not wrong either. That's her individual opinion or her assessment that it would do no good to meet with CEO of USA Inc. and that, you know, she wants to focus on other things. But I would tend to disagree with that. That is not the approach, and I expressed that on Facebook, which got some feedback from Dr. Randall. But my thinking was is that, you know, we are in fact at war. All right, there has been an ongoing war on black people on this continent ever since Europeans came over here from Europe. Obviously, we have been under assault. There has been an attack on black life. And slavery has existed, in fact, you know, not only just going back to the founding of the United States of America, but centuries before its founding. That, you know, black life has not mattered to these people. All right. But how do you you have to engage with the enemy on the battlefield? You have emissaries. Okay, emissaries are like messengers. You know, you do have to talk to the enemy. All right, unless, you know, you want to stay out there and just fight to the last man standing, you know, possibly killing hundreds of thousands of people, if not a million or more, until there's nobody left but one, you know, side standing, totally obliterate the enemy. But, you know, they have ceasefires. They have negotiations. They have demands that they present. You know, they hear concessions. That is how it is done on the battlefield, and has been, you know, that way for hundreds of years. So you do if for no other reason, you go to the meeting so that you can just gather intelligence. You can just listen to what they have to say. You don't have to say nothing and just gather intelligence, take notes, you know. And then, you know, if you want to disclose the intelligence that you gathered from what was said by John Lewis, what was said by Mr. Barack Obama, what was said by DeRay McKesson or whatnot, if you feel like, you know, that something said was important enough that the people ought to know about and they're not, you know, and this is supposed to be, I don't know what, a closed door meeting or whatnot. So, you know, you gather that intelligence and then you determine its use and its value. Well, of course, it's going to be of value. So that's why that's one good reason to take the meeting right there to gather intelligence from the emissaries of the enemies of black people. But you do go into the meeting with your let's just call it your 10-point demands. These are the demands. We want an immediate end to all prisoners of politics, and that is a reference to drug war victims, drug war prisoners who are in fact been enslaved because of codes that have been passed by politicians. Politicians engaging in, you know, legalized slavery as prescribed by the 13th Amendment through the criminal justice system. It's, you know, so got to gather intelligence. You have to engage the enemy on the battlefield unless you want to keep taking casualties. And then when you talk about when we talk about, I don't want to make it personal to her because I'm sure there's other people out there feel the same way. I'm sure they are expressing themselves as well. But we have to take every opportunity to bring any kind of relief to our troops, to our captured, to whoever, and not just the drug war victims, but what about our political prisoners? Most people don't even know that, you know, a lot of people know about Mamiya. They know about Assata Shakur. She's a, you know, you might as well call her a political prisoner in exile. But we have many more. We played the clip of H-Rap Brown. He's a political prisoner. H-Rap Brown was in SNCC, which, by the way, John Lewis, you know, do you know who H-Rap Brown is? You saying you didn't know Bernie Sanders and you never met him or you never saw him, even though y'all was, what, 300 miles apart, him in Chicago and you in the Deep South, I think in Alabama. So, yeah, the chances are y'all wasn't going to come across each other. But both of these people were in SNCC, Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee. H-Rap Brown, current political prisoner who we heard on that clip saying black folks ain't going to play Jews. We not going to stand around and let police murder us or any white racists or anyone else. We're going to exercise our Second Amendment rights. You know, sounding like patriots, sounding like a true patriot to me. And he's a political prisoner along with many, many, many more. But you ever hear John Lewis advocating for any the release of any of these political prisoners or any reconciliation or any negotiations and whatnot? No, you know, these different organizations, individuals like Dr. Vernelia Randall have to go to the UN and lodge complaints and make demands for the release, you know, of these people, like Mamiya, like, you know, Albert Wood Fox, victim of solitary confinement over 40 years, and then, you know, President Obama's getting kudos and for passing an executive order or issuing an executive order that juveniles would no longer be tortured in federal prisons and jails, detention facilities run by the federal government. But he doesn't talk about the private run facilities that's on contract with the federal government. What about them? They can still torture kids in these, you know, immigration detention facilities. But then we have political prisoners, Black Power, whatever, you know, you call the movement back in the 60s, not the civil rights movement, but the movement for human rights, because there were even then two parallel movements at that time. You know, just going back to something I was discussing the other day about, you know, the rift we see right now between establishment blacks in Congress and their allies out here in the nonprofit industry, like the Urban League, the NAACP, and whatnot, and that there is a rift, there is a split between, you know, the so black middle class, upper class, whatever, you know, they've moved on up and been a benefit, you know, benefiting from affirmative action and policies they should have been fighting for, but then on other policies they leave the poor behind. And there's a new generation, a new wave, just like, you know, was back in the 60s. I believe John Lewis was out of SNCC by the time, you know, H. Rap Brown took over the chairmanship. So I don't think that anybody, in my opinion, let me just speak for myself, I don't have a problem with them meeting with the president, the CEO. Because, as I stated, that's intelligence gathering. But also, I would take it further, and I would demand the release of my political prisoner, my heroes and sheroes, and you know, demand that, you know, the bounty be taken off of Assata Shakur's head. Immediate release of all federal prisoners caught up under these draconian drug laws, nonviolent so-called drug crimes. A release, immediate pardon of all of them. And it can be done. Ron Paul talked about it during his campaigns. Two of them. 2008, 2012 as well. Ron Paul was saying, you know, the drug war is immoral. And, you know, his other points against it. And saying as executive, chief executive officer of the executive branch, he said he would eliminate, I believe, the DEA. But he said he would issue a pardon of all these people. So, you know, we just too light on these establishment black folks. And we ain't putting the same demands on them. They part of the system. That very system of that uses black folks as proxies to practice racism. And that's how we had to see that. And these battle lines, this division within the black community has always existed. There were some people that didn't want to run away and would tell on you because they afraid that, you know, they gonna get killed if you escape and you didn't tell on them, you know, whether you knew about it or not, and make an example of you. To, you know, y'all know how brutal and evil those people were, like Thomas Jefferson and George Washington and the others, these racist enslavers. So there's always been division. There's the pacifists, and then there are, you know, those who say, give me liberty or give me death. So, I mean, but that is her prerogative. But I just wanted to give an alternative thought on, you know, why these people who are meeting should not be seen suspect for taking a meeting. Because, I mean, again, we on a battlefield. When you going to engage the emissary? And I don't know who initiated this contact, but if it was the establishment that reached out to them, they see Black Lives Matter, the umbrella, as a threat, the grassroots as a threat. Now, let me tell you, read to you what Dr. Vanilla Randall said. She did agree that they should take the meeting. So this is what she said. She said, Dr. Vanilla Randall, Scotty, powerful people dangle access as a carrot. Organizations and individuals convince themselves that having access is essential. The president's people will pressure them to tone down their behavior in exchange for access. Then the group will be forever compromised. Of course, the old school is there to beat up on the younguns. So the president has complete deniability. It will be interesting to see what comes from this meeting. And, you know, I agree with that assessment as well. That's what John Lewis is there for, to beat them up. And you don't know how things is run. And don't you know in the 60s, I got hit in the head a whole bunch of times and I might be suffering from CTE, you know, brain damage and all of that. And they just trapped me out here to remind you how I took all these blows upside my head. And I'm going to vote how, you know, I'm how they want me to vote. I'm part of the establishment. I'm just keeping it real. It's not meant to be disrespectful or anything like that. But, you know, we have to be truthful. We have to be honest. We have to be direct. John Lewis is compromised, as well as a lot of the other members of the so-called Congressional Black Caucus. So anyway, this shows me that the system is concerned. I don't want to use a word as extreme as afraid, but they are concerned about the organizational abilities of Black Lives Matter and that being demonstrated through the elections, through using the vote, which is just one of the areas of that need fully defined as the nine people activity areas, the nine areas, and that's six. And again, politics, whether people want to deny it, again, short of anybody actually organizing for a revolutionary war again, if you're not doing that, and then, you know, I don't see how constructed it is to criticize people engaged in other nine activities that are working towards justice, producing justice. So you got to engage. But yeah, so again, I will take the meeting. They also have the right not to take the meeting. I'm not going to judge them either way, but, you know, I will, again, just use my program and remind people about these political prisoners. These are people that are in prison, and so, you know, those are my thoughts on it. I don't have a whole lot more to say about that. Coming up at 6 o'clock p.m., of course, will be Tando Radio Show, Brother Dave, and they'll be talking about the Art of War. The telephone numbers, if you want to get in the last few minutes, we'll just give out the studio line this time. That is 704-951-5030. So President Obama is scheduled to fly to Cuba to meet with Cuban officials as the two countries continue the process of normalizing relations. Now, Ted Cruz been lying, man. In Iowa, he people connected to his campaign, of course, you know, he's going to use plausible deniability and say, I knew nothing about it and this and that. And, you know, let's move along. Nothing to see here. But in Iowa, calling, you know, voters on their phones and telling them that Dr. Ben Carson had dropped out the race. And so if you were supporting Dr. Carson, come out and caucus for Senator Cruz. And then, in fact, Dr. Carson had not dropped out, you know. So that's just, you know, what Donald Trump called a sleazy campaigning and whatnot. You know, not that he's one to talk, but, it, you know, calling a sleaze, recognized sleaze, you know. So, but anyway, Cruz then also some of his supporters got accused of hijacking or producing a fake Facebook post. Pretending it was actually, you could classify it as identity theft if you want to be a strict prosecutor and manipulate the law like they always do. You could call it identity theft, where people connected to the Cruz campaign, people that want to see him become the next CEO of USA Inc., made a fake Facebook profile, I guess, and then made a post like it was Trey Gowdy, a representative in South Carolina, who was in Congress, U.S. representative, I should say, and like he was endorsing Senator Ted Cruz over Marco Rubio. In the email, they were trashing, you know, Marco Rubio, and then saying, well, we support Ted Cruz, and I'm endorsing Ted Cruz, and it was fake. It was entirely fake. And, you know, some of the articles I read said, even though they didn't present any hard evidence, but, you know, the cloak and dagger world of politics, especially when you toss in the online element. But they said that, you know, it was people, supporters of Cruz. So this dude, you know, it's just he has that sleaze factor. Plus, I know him from some of his other things he has stated and come against throughout his time in the Senate. But he likes to tell his personal story, and he told his personal story the other day about his father fighting. I mean, being tortured in Cuba, and the president shouldn't fly to Cuba, and this is a terrible country, and blah, 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 and my daddy was tortured. But what he ain't telling is that his father was allegedly tortured by the Batista regime, the one that the revolution in Cuba, the Cuban Revolution, overthrew, the brutal dictatorship, which again was an ally of the United States government. This brutal dictatorship that allowed corporations, you know, and the mafia to just, you know, just totally run that island and oppress those people, which is predominantly black. So we're cut off from some of our brothers and sisters, not even allowed to get on the plane to go down there and compare horror stories or none of that kind of stuff, or connect on an international level in a movement to seek reparations from all involved. And, you know, but we're not even able to, you know, do that. And why? But I mean, just the irony of Cruz saying this, my father was tortured, but not mentioning that it was by the corrupt U.S. backed Batista regime, and your father claimed they have fought on the side of the people in the revolution under Castro. But other people who knew him during that time said that he was anti-Batista, but he didn't fight in no war. He didn't fight no battles or nothing like that. He didn't really do anything that, you know, he's just telling lies and pumping himself up after all these years to be something he wasn't. And he was no revolutionary. Now, is Ted Cruz that dumb? You know? To say my father, like, people are not going to look it up. Well, he's banking on people to be that dumb. I don't know if he's that dumb, but he's, again, it just points to the willingness to tell lies to manipulate the truth. And he's just a sleaze bag. He really is, in my opinion. And I like when these Republicans with Donald Trump go at each other, man. Donald Trump's funny, man. He really is. He's also disgusting and you know, racist and all those things. But when he turned on those other ones, I had to say, I'm entertained by it all. So I like to see them go at each other like that. So anyway, now Cruz again wanted to cite about human rights violations, alleged human rights violations in Cuba. But let's not, you know, be ignorant again of the facts when we got this great tool like the internet, and we discover not only Cuba doesn't even have, I don't even think, a quarter of the prison population of the United States. United States even has the world's highest per capita. If they're not the highest, they're in the top three. But in terms of total number of people who are imprisoned or jailed at any time, detained, none larger than the United States. So when we want to talk about liberty and freedom and all that kind of stuff, you're going to have to come better than calling people communists and telling lies about being tortured and whatnot. Because if those people so repressed, then why aren't, let's say, half the island locked up? You know. It's ridiculous. And yet we'll have people that will, you know, continue to fall for these lies and not do research. And they are ill-informed voters who shouldn't even be participating in the process, if you ask me. So, but he wants to complain about human rights abuses occurring in Cuba. But guess where we know human rights abuses are being committed in Cuba? That's Guantanamo Bay. where in fact they got innocent people, people that they have went through the crony kangaroo court system, and even the kangaroo court system said that they were innocent, that these they were victims of bounty hunters, because the United States government, your government, put bounties on people. And then these people, you know, kidnapping other people from their families and turning them in and saying they was Al-Qaeda or whatever. But yet, these people languish in these prisons for years. Some of them have been recently released in into different countries, but people like Ted Cruz and the Republicans have blocked the closure on Guantanamo Bay, which President Obama has said he wants to close. Cuba has, in fact, demanded its closure and the return of the territory, because you own stolen land. You seized this. You came down here, invaded a sovereign country, and you just seized this land. This was all you was able to hold on to and whatnot. But, it, I mean, it's hypocritical. And then what are they doing? Force feeding people, innocent people. Now, you said I'm innocent, and then you want to keep me here, and I'm being subjected to sexual abuse, just all kind of psychological torture, physical torture. So I'm going on a hunger strike. I'd rather die than be enslaved like this. So they force feed them to keep them alive. That's torture. So, you know, I don't hear any of these things, even questions being asked. Of course, in all my years of even paying attention to the political process, so-called political process here in the United States, it's very rare that I hear real questions coming from whoever the moderators are, whether it's NPR, CBS, just whatever, one of them alphabet corporations. They don't call these people on these things. They just let them, you know, talk. That's because maybe the moderator don't know, or he knows and he just following, reading from the script. This is what the producers, the people that's really in charge, wants me to ask, and I'm, you know, I may not even have to the opportunity to do follow-ups. They may not even allow me to do no follow-ups to, you know, because I know something and it pops in my head and I'm like, hey, you lying about that. So let me ask you this. You know, you don't even have the autonomy as a host to do that on these corporate media shows. So, you know, this whole process has just been, you know, very educational. Been very educational. So, again, shout out to whoever is meeting with Black Lives Matter, is meeting with the president, and John Lewis, the Black establishment, meeting with the grassroots, and young lady says she's not going. So, but DeRay McKesson, it'll be interesting to see what comes out of it. Like Dr. Randall said, that's the way we gather intelligence. Got to have intelligence in order to plot moves on the battlefield. And it's really simple if you just look at it from the battlefield perspective. But listen, I'm going to get out of here. Tando Radio Show is coming up at 6 o'clock. And I believe it's a new program, but I believe it comes on at 9 o'clock. But that's Blacks in Business Radio, BIB Radio, I believe comes on at 9 o'clock tonight. 9 Eastern, so I will definitely be putting out some information about that. Recognize the fact that you live behind the enemy lines. The USA Inc. is a battlefield out there. Casualties are being created every day. Recognize that it's a battlefield. It's that simple. Then you will realize that, you know, every time I step out the house, it's life or death matter. And there are moves being made on the battlefield, and I need to come up with ways to counter those moves by any means necessary, as Malcolm would say. So, come to that realization, develop battlefield awareness, and hopefully you won't be one of the casualties. But in war, there's always going to be casualties, but we need to do a better job of limiting those casualties and preventing them from making more and more people new slaves. In fact, we need to be meeting with the president and demanding the release of all federal drug war victims, as well as the political prisoners who were put there through the illegal activities of the FBI and police departments all across the nation in the COINTELPRO program. Till tomorrow, peace and blessings to all.
Don't you know that I'm what you see? If you ever think about me, and if you think about me, niggas, and you ain't gonna do no revolutionary action, forget about me. I don't want the best on your mind if you're not gonna work for me. Like we always did, if you actually make a commission at the age of 20, and you say, I don't want to make that commission on this, because of the reason that I'm too young to die, I want to live a little bit longer. What you did, you did already. You have to understand that people have to pay the price for peace. If you dare to struggle, you dare to win. If you dare not to struggle, then goddamn it, you don't deserve to win. Let me say peace to you if you're willing to fight for it. Let me say it in the spirit of liberation. I've been gone for a little while. At least my body's been gone. You ain't got to see that to me. At least my body's been gone for a little while. But I'm back now, and I believe that I'm back to peace. I believe that I'm born to do my job, and I believe that I was born not to die in a car wreck. I don't believe I'm gonna die in a car wreck. I don't believe I'm gonna die from spit on the ice. I don't believe I'm gonna die because I got a bad heart. I don't believe I'm gonna die because of lung cancer. I believe that I'm going to be able to die what I was just the things I was born for. I believe that I'm going to be able to die high off the table. I believe that I will be able to die as a revolutionary in the international revolutionary protest struggle. And I hope that each one of you will be able to die in the international protest revolutionary struggle, we didn't be able to live in it. And I think that struggle is going to come. Why don't you live for the people? Why don't you struggle for the people? Why don't you die for the people?